Captain Don Carlson, I'll walk the line. We're going to take a little time out right now. 10 minutes of news from ABC here on WABC. And then a special 15-minute Kiplinger report. So we'll be back at exactly 20 minutes after 10 to continue with the big beat and your biggest favorite, so you stay tuned.
The switch is on to easy listening, WABC New York and WABC FM.
This is Don Lowe in the ABC Radio Newsroom in New York, bringing you People in the News, the background story on one of the day's top news personalities. Tonight, Philip Noel Baker, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. Philip Noel Baker has long been regarded as a man who wanted to be Britain's foreign secretary. His qualifications were outstanding, his abilities acknowledged by labor leaders of the party, but for reasons that can only be attributed to the imponderables of politics, he never made it. Today, however, the 70-year-old statesman achieved an even greater honor. He joined the distinguished list of winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. The award carries with it a $43,000 cash stipend, a sum that Noel Baker says he will use to advance the cause for which he won it, peace. That's characteristic of a man who has spent the better part of the past 30 years working for disarmament. Noel Baker came from a family of devout Quakers and pacifists. He was sent to the United States to Haverford College in Pennsylvania, a Quaker school. Later, rounded out his education in England at Cambridge and at the Sorbonne in France. At college, he was both an intellectual and an athlete. He took first honors in economics, was an untiring campus politician and debater. He also ran in the varsity track squad and participated in three Olympic games. Noel Baker, as if to continue his internationalist tradition, married the daughter of a Greek landowner he met in Belgium and learned to speak six languages fluently. World War I posed a problem for him. He was a Quaker, and Quakers do not kill. Yet his country was engulfed in a lifelong struggle. Noel Baker organized and joined the first Friends Ambulance Unit, taking it to France, Belgium, and Italy. At war's end, he was named a delegate to the Versailles Conference of 1919 and remained to help set up the League of Nations. Returning to England, he was elected to Parliament and began turning out a seemingly endless stream of books devoted to disarmament, world understanding, and peace. He was a pioneer of the principle of collective security to safeguard peace and a bitter foe of appeasement. Noel Baker rose to the top echelon of the Labour Party. He was number one undersecretary to Foreign Secretary Ernest Bevin in Clement Attlee's Labour government and served as chairman of the Labour Party. All the while, he maintained an avid interest in sports. He played tennis, he climbed mountains and skied, and served on the Olympic Games Council for 35 years. During World War II, Noel Baker broadcast to Europe over the British Broadcasting Company's facilities, using the six foreign tongues he knows almost like a native. And when peace came, he was named to the United Nations Conference and played a significant part in helping to set up the organizational structure of that world forum. In recent years, Noel Baker has grown increasingly concerned about the dangers of nuclear war and has devoted considerable attention to proposals for an international ban on nuclear tests. Noel Baker lives alone in a fashionable London residential area. His wife died in 1956. Their son, Francis, was reared in the family's strict pacifist tradition, and he has followed his father into the House of Commons, where he still serves. Each weekday night, the ABC Radio Network brings you People in the News, the background story on one of the day's top news personalities. Tonight, it was Philip Noel Baker, winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. This is Don Lowe reporting from the ABC Radio Newsroom in New York.
This is the ABC Radio Network.
Have you heard Wonderful World? It's a new Friday feature on ABC Radio and one you shouldn't miss. Its stars are a famed husband and wife team of reporters, Arthur Van Horn and Phyllis Battelle. Its scope, the entire world, and anyone in it who makes a good story. For Art and Phyllis, between them, have covered most of the great news stories of our time and have traveled to all parts of the earth. They have a knack for setting a colorful scene and bringing it to life with real people. And you'll hear the people themselves being interviewed in depth by Art and Phyllis. Wonderful World is wonderful fun to listen to. Hear it tomorrow and every Friday on the ABC Radio. This has been news from ABC Radio, live at 55. Keep listening to Americans.
20th Century Fox has put every intimate moment of the best of everything on the CinemaScope screen in color by deluxe. Starring Hope Lang, Stephen Boyd, Susie Parker, Martha Heyer, Diane Baker, Brian Ahern, Robert Evans, Louis Jordan, and Joan Crawford as Amanda Farrell. It's the best of everything.
Now playing Paramount Theater. Stay tuned for the commentary of John W. Vandercook. The switch is on to easy listening WABC New York and WABC FM.
Good evening. This is John W. Vandercook, brought to you by the 13.5 million Americans who are members of the AFL-CIO. A difference of opinion, at least, seems to exist among the 9 members of the U.S. Supreme Court as to the constitutionality of the 80-day injunction provision of the Taft-Hartley Act. That's deduced from the fact that 3 days have now passed since the Supreme Court heard the arguments of both sides on that important issue, and that there's still been no hint as to when that yes or no decision will be handed down. The High Court is under double pressure. Obviously, it is thoroughly aware of what will hang upon its conclusion as to whether or not the steel strike, now in its 114th day, can or cannot be temporarily halted by ordering the steelworkers to go back to their jobs. Yet an outsider may safely assume that the 9 justices do not wish to act hastily or mistakenly. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Labor's Bureau of Labor Statistics announced this evening that during the month of September, due to the steel strike and other labor management disputes, more man days were lost through enforced idleness than during any September in our history. The grand total of those lost days is reckoned at 14 million. Senator Wayne Morse of Oregon has announced that he would favor legislation which would give the president far more power than he now possesses to bring to a conclusion strikes and or shutdowns which threaten national emergencies. Senator Morse suggests 2 approaches to the problem. One idea is that the president should be empowered by Congress when collective bargaining discussions are deadlocked to appoint a special neutral emergency board. That board would have the authority to hold public fact-finding hearings, reach its own conclusions as to what would constitute a just settlement, and then issue a firm order which could end the dispute. Mr. Morse's alternative plan would be to give the president power to seize and operate closed plants, subject to a congressional veto of his order within 10 days. The extraordinary extent to which the steel-dependent automobile industry has stockpiled, that is, had stockpiled its necessary supplies in anticipation of a steel shutdown is revealed by the news today that more cars were sold by the American automobile industry during the month of October than during any other October since 1955. However, those supplies are now running out so completely that General Motors reports that 193,000 of its workers have already been laid off and that 5,000 more are scheduled for layoffs during the coming week. Chrysler has sent home about 6,000 men. Ford's maintaining production better than its rivals. But nevertheless, almost all Ford plants are now down to 3 or 4 day work weeks. AFL-CIO President George Meade, in his capacity as a member of the U.S. delegation of the United Nations, delivered a speech today at the UN on the vital necessity of the more highly developed societies and industrial powers, giving thought and aid alike to help the underdeveloped regions of the world to raise the living standards of their people to a closer approximation to the kind of life enjoyed in Europe and America. But, said the speaker, increased productivity, though very important, is not necessarily the same as prosperity. Only, he said, through self-reliance and freedom can the worker and the farmer and the intellectual secure that self-respect and human dignity and the social instruments with which to assure himself of a just share in modern technology. The United States is today officially rejecting the assertion made yesterday through the government of Panama by its foreign minister that Americans were in some degree or in any degree responsible for the highly destructive nationalist riots this week, which resulted in the tearing down of the American flag from the U.S. Embassy and in considerable destruction to American property in Panama. State Department spokesman has said simply, we did nothing to inflame the situation, and we don't want to do anything to inflame matters. At the invisible line separating the U.S.-controlled canal zone from Panamanian territory, U.S. troops and barbed wire barricades today were removed. Local extremists promptly responded by invading the zone and planting a Panamanian flag. They were chased off and the flag taken away by Panamanian soldiers. This is John W. Vandercook. My news and commentary are brought to you each weekday evening by the 13.5 million Americans who are members of the AFL-CIO.
This is the ABC Radio Network.
The switch is on to easy listening WABC New York, where news comes first. In addition to consistently low prices, all food fair stores give you free Merchant's Green Stamps, which you can redeem for the finest quality famous brand gifts. Shop at food fair for low, low prices plus free Merchant's Green Stamps. And now it's back to return to the Big Beat Show. Your host, Alan Freed.
Are you ready for the 60s? What's with the cost of living? What's putting the squeeze on your interest dollar? Are labels always truthful? How much is your paycheck really worth? Do you want to be a bank president? How do you get in the public eye and how much does it cost? What's your Social Security worth? How much interest are you getting on your savings? What small business is most likely to succeed in the 60s? What's the latest in mail frauds? Is the market too high to buy stocks? How can you make the most of your money? This is Don Baldwin reporting for Changing Times, the Kiplinger magazine, with the answers to these and many other money-making, money-saving questions that can help you get that step ahead and have the extra cash you need today and will need to enjoy the wonderful world of tomorrow. Are you ready for the 60s? Fantastic advances have been made in the past 20 years, but experts agree the next 10 will be even more dazzling. Refrigerators, air conditioners, dehumidifiers, and freezers with no motors or compressors. Electroluminescent wall panels for heat and light. Ultrasonic dishwashers that clean and sterilize with air waves. Homes will have control centers where you can adjust everything from pulling down the shades to watering the lawn. This only scratches the surface. Are you ready for this kind of living? Are your habits today the kind that will give you the money you'll need 5, 10, 15 years from now? It's up to you, so get with it. We'll keep the tips coming, make notes, and lots of them. Let's start with today's cost of living. Why are prices so high? From the consumer's side of the fence, he feels good when prices are low. From the supplier's point of view, he feels good when he's getting a higher price for his goods and services. Where are you? In most cases, we're affected by both sides of the problem. So we must be willing to adjust our spending habits to the amount of cash available and shop carefully to make the most of our money. Butter, for instance, hasn't been cheap for some time. The minute it looks as though it'll drop below 60 cents a pound, the government steps in and bolsters the price. As for sugar, the amount imported is controlled, and this keeps the price of domestic sugar at a higher level than it would be if imports from Cuba, the Philippines, and elsewhere were allowed to come in. I don't mean these two items are the only cause of the high cost of living. It's just a note to point up that high prices are not going to fade away tomorrow or the next day. They're with us and will be for a long time. Get set for economy if you want a balanced budget in your home. What's putting the squeeze on your interest dollar? Borrowing costs are climbing because of increased demand for cash. Not only has credit buying increased and mortgage demands grown, the demands are being made by local, state, and federal governments to finance new bond issues for schools, roads, and so forth. It's all leaping. Industry, too, is borrowing big to buy new machines, offices, and the rest. This all adds up to a severe drain on available money, and in line with supply and demand, the cost of borrowing climbs. A conventional mortgage loan could be found for around 5% in most areas last year. Now the cost of 5.5%, 6%, even near 7% in some areas. Shop long and hard for mortgage money these days, and remember, the difference between 5.5% and 6% interest on a $10,000 mortgage loan over a 20-year period amounts to almost $680. Not a bad bonus for the careful shopper, is it? Are labels always truthful? They should be, but in some cases, the truth is stretched a little to lure you into buying the product. Inspection of meats across the state line is the law, and you should always look for the stamp. Grading, on the other hand, is voluntary and is done at the food packer's request. Even grades can be confusing. Grade A eggs are not the best. Grade AA outshines them. But the greatest misleading comes in the tags and stamps on hard goods. On electrical goods, look for the UL seal. And on gas-operated ranges, heaters, and so forth, look for the AGA. That's the American Gas Association label. They indicate the items were tested for safety. But watch out for items that just say passed, accepted, certified, inspected. Just what all these terms mean is not always clear. And you should not put your trust in anything that does not state its case in black and white. Another warning, the UL seal attached to the cord of an appliance assures you only that the cord has been tested, not the appliance, unless the appliance itself has a UL seal. A listener asks, my 5-year-old son likes to finger paint. How can I make these paints at home? Well, it's very easy. Mix 6 tablespoons of dry laundry starch with a little cold water. Now, you pour this slowly into a quart of boiling water, stirring all the while the mixture thickens. Add a drop of oil of cloves and stir well. Put the mixture in small jars and tint with food coloring, and there you are. How much is your paycheck really worth? Most employers are putting 20 to 25% in what we call fringe benefits. These are indirect pay devices that actually make your paycheck bigger than it seems when you pick it up each week. Now, if you're trying to decide on whether to take a certain job, check the extras that go along with it. Time off, services and facilities, bonuses, pensions, profit sharing, health insurance and life insurance, stock options, thrift plans,
There are many extras, and you should check them carefully so you get full benefit of these plans and also know how much your job is really worth. You want to be a bank president? There will be openings for about 1,000 this coming year, and the need is growing with the expanding economy. But don't think becoming a bank president will automatically put you in a big money bracket. Less than half the presidents of national banks drew over $10,000 last year. The starting salaries in banks is usually not high. One average bank starts college graduates at $4,200 to $4,600 a year, and they can look forward to 12 to 14 years of hard work to become an officer of the bank. There are many good points to banking, though. It is one of the most stable of all businesses. And a Chamber of Commerce survey shows that banking paid more fringe benefits than any other industry. One thing for sure, you'll learn how to handle money. How do you catch the public eye? This is the question.